Good evening. It's nice to be back. Let's open tonight's service with hymn number 58. Number 58, Jesus, the very thought of thee. Let's all stand together. Number 58.
Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills my breast, but sweeter far thy face to see, and in thy presence rest, nor voice can sing.
Tom, good to have you and Cindy back. Your duties were ably taken care of here in your absence, but we're happy you're back. Let's open our Bibles together to John 17. John 17. We'll begin reading at verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, and that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Wow, what a prayer. Let's try to pray. Our gracious, glorious, merciful Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that we can come into thy presence knowing that we have a successful, sufficient advocate who prays for us, who ever lives to make intercession for us. Lord, our feeble prayers are brought to you in the name of thy dear Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you have answered his prayer to keep us in the world. We pray that you would bless your word tonight. We know that this is the means by which you sanctify your people by thy word. And so, Lord, we ask your blessings on your word. We pray that you would cause us, though we be in the world, to not be of this world. Father, we thank you for the decision that you gave to the judge out in Colorado, and pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless the Wigingtons as they wait on you to direct their steps. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We've been praying for Chad Wigington and Donnie and Mary, and the judge made a judgment today that Chad would get primary custody, so they'll be coming here and attending services here, and they're very thankful for that. So, all right, Tom.
Number
334.
Let's stand together again. 334.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty prayer. Thou and Thou only, first in my heart. I, King of heaven, my treasure Thou art. I, King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Please be seated.
Will you turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 94. Psalm 94. I've titled this message, Not of This World. Another title I thought of was Kept in the World. The psalmist, speaking first and foremost, as all the Psalms are, prophetically of the Lord Jesus Christ, is lamenting the condition of the world in which he lives. And as I read these words in the first part of this psalm, you can just feel the tension of our Lord's experience when he was here living in this world and all the contradictions that this world had against him. And I'm so encouraged by that prayer that our Lord prayed in John chapter 17 to keep us in the world. We're not of this world. We are called sojourners. We're just passing through. This world's not our home. We're called pilgrims. We're foreigners in a foreign land. The values of this world, the philosophies of this world, and the religions particularly of this world are contrary to everything we believe. Everything we believe. It's anti-Christ, the world in which we live. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. Oh, God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. That word show is the word shine. Lord, shine forth your glory. This world is so dark and so unbelieving. And Lord, it seems like your people are on the losing end. It seems like they're not in control of anything. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? The more light we are given into the truth, the more we are enabled to see how contrary this world really is to everything we believe. How often we're brought to see how anti-Christ this world really is. And how we're longing for that day when the Lord will shine forth. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, the honest child of God is smitten in his conscience by how attracted he is to the things of this world when reading those words. I found probably the best definition that I've read on this word love. This word love. It's the word agape. Love not the world. This world, this word love is based on esteem, not emotion or affection. Now, how many times we are emotionally or affectionately attracted to something in this world? That's not what this verse is saying. The Lord will correct us if we become too affectionate and too attracted to this world. We're going to see that in our text. But this word love means to esteem highly, means to put great value on. And what the Lord is saying to us is that the values, the philosophy, and the religions of this world are not esteemed by God's people. Everything they believe is contrary to the values of this world. What are the values of this world? Well, the Lord said, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. What does mammon provide in this world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We just read it. It goes all the way back to the garden, doesn't it? When Eve was tempted by Satan, he said the fruit was pleasing to the eyes, good to the taste, and able to make one wise. That's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's pleasure, popularity, and power, and money is what buys that. And that's the values of this world. Get as much pleasure, as much popularity, and as much power as you can get. And that's the value of the world. What do God's people say? Lord, that's not what I esteem. I'm emotionally and affectionately sometimes attracted to those things, but that's not what I esteem. That's not my value. That's not the thing that I consider to be important. That which is important is Christ. He's the one that I esteem. He's the one that I value. That's why the Lord said, they that love the world, those that esteem the world, that's their pursuit. Their pursuit is the things of this world. The love of God is not in them. Love not the world. And that's what the psalmist is saying. How long shall the wicked triumph? How long are the values of the world going to be the things that drive this wind? Lord, when are you going to shine forth your glory? When are you going to show us what's really important? When is the pearl of great price going to shine before men? What about the philosophy of this world? The scriptures tell us what they are, just like it tells us what the values of this world are, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The scriptures tell us what the philosophy of this world is. And you remember when Paul went to Athens? And he met with the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. That's the philosophy of this world. There's two philosophies in this world. One is philosophy. You know what philosophy means. Philo is love, like our city, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And Sophia is wisdom or knowledge. Philosophy is the love of wisdom, the love of knowledge, the love of understanding. And the world has two positions, Epicureanism and Stoicism. Epicureanism is discovering truth and wisdom by indulging yourself in the pleasures of this world. Stoicism is discovering truth and wisdom by denying yourself the things of this world. Going deeper and deeper into yourself in order to pull out of your own nature. So one is to find the world to be the source of wisdom, and the other is to find you to be the source of wisdom. And the whole world is given to one of those two philosophies, and most folks go from one extreme to the other, back and forth, back and forth. What are they doing? They're looking for wisdom. And the Lord said, you're not of this world. Why are you not of this world? Because wisdom, we know, is not to be found in the world, and it's not to be found in me. It's to be found in Christ. He's my wisdom. So the values of this world are completely contrary to our values. The philosophies of this world are completely contrary to our philosophies. And the religions of this world, all the religions of this world are based on works. You know that. Every single one of them. One work or another work. Free will and good works. That's how you're going to get right with God. Everybody, as I said Sunday, everybody knows there's God with whom he must do. And everybody knows he's got a problem with a God that's holy and just. He's got a sin problem. And so all the religions of this world are based on man atoning himself before God. And he does that by his will and by his works and by his own personal knowledge and wisdom. And everything about the religions of this world, just like the values of this world and just like the philosophies of this world, everything about the religions of this world are contrary to everything you believe, aren't they? Aren't they? You cannot esteem the values of this world. You cannot esteem the philosophies of this world, and you cannot esteem the religions of this world. That's why we love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. The love of the world is enmity with God. And so our Lord is praying, oh Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long is this world going to be given over to that which is completely contrary in every way to the things of God? Lord, I feel like a stranger in a foreign land. You guys were out of place in a lot of places, weren't you? They just got back from Russia and different places, you know. You're not home there. First text I got from them when they landed last Saturday night was, glad to be back in the USA. You know, that's home, isn't it? You're out of place. And that's the way we are in the world, isn't it? We don't belong to this world. Lord, how long is it going to be before you shine forth and put everything right and your values and your philosophies and your religion is what controls all things? Turn to me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. The psalmist is grieving, as every believer grieves, over the anti-Christ values, philosophy, and religion of this world. We just don't fit in. We live in a strange country, don't we? I was telling somebody recently, I don't have any friends that aren't believers. I'm not interested in having any friends that aren't believers. You know, I have acquaintances, but, you know, I don't have anything in common with an unbeliever. I don't care if they're religious or irreligious. I just don't have, you know, we're kind to them. We do what we can. We don't cut ourselves off from them. You let them know what you believe, they'll cut themselves off from you. But we don't have anything in common with the things of this world. That's what the psalmist is doing. He's grieving over the conflict that exists between what he has and what he believes and the world in which the Lord left him. That's why the Lord prayed what he prayed in John chapter 17. Father, I pray not for the world. I pray for them which thou hast given me out of the world. Thine they were. I have kept them. By thy word I've kept them. And now, Lord, I'm praying that you would keep them and sanctify them. And what's going to be the means by which God keeps his children? His word. The gospel. That's why you got to keep hearing, don't you? You have to keep coming. Yeah. Why? Because we go back out in the world, and it's a corrosive place, isn't it? Some of us like to, there's some things I enjoy in the world. I love to go fishing. I love to fish. Don't get to do it very often, but I love it when I do it. Is that loving the world? No. That doesn't have anything to do with the philosophy of the world, the values of the world, or the religions of this world. But one thing about fishing in salt water is you better clean your gear when you come home. Because every time you throw that thing out in the water and reel it back in, all that salt gets on your gear. And if you don't clean it, next time you go to use it, it won't work. Why? Because it'll be corroded. That's the way we're cast out into the world every time we leave this place, aren't we? And the salt of this world gets all over us, and it's corrosive. And the water of the gospel is what washes us clean. That's what this psalm's all about. Look at Romans chapter 8 at verse 18. For I reckon... And that's not used like we use it in the South. I reckon so. Maybe it will be, maybe it won't be. No, I have determined this to be the truth. That the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Oh, Lord, how long will the wicked rule? Shine forth. Lord, the thing, the values, the philosophy, and the religions that are precious to me, I want to see them in their full glory. And here I am in this world that's contrary to everything I believe. But the sufferings of this present world cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the creature, now the word creature and creation in this next few verses is the same word. I don't know why the translators put creature in some places and creation in others. But it's talking about the effects of sin, the effects that the fall had in the garden on all of creation. All of creation is decaying. All of creation is dying. And it's a result of sin. Now, I don't know what heaven's going to be like in terms of, there's not going to be any corruption there. Not going to be any sin. I know that. But look. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. The creation wasn't at fault for sin. But because of sin, all of creation has fallen into corruption. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of decay. That's what that word is. Creation. Everything in creation is decaying, isn't it? Everything's going from order to disorder. Your house is, your car is, your body is, the rocks are. Some are slower than others, but everything is decaying. Everything. And that's what he's talking about. The creation is decaying as a result of sin. There's not going to be any decay in heaven. No corruption. Everything's going to be alive. Because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. All the results of the fall that you see in the natural world, it's the world groaning and travailing as a result of sin. And it's a picture of the groaning and travailing that's in the hearts of God's people as a result of sin. And not only they... Look at verse 23. Not only creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Our souls have been redeemed eternally. But our bodies have not yet been redeemed. They're corruptible, aren't they? They've got to be put on the incorruption. They've got to become immortal. And we groan within ourselves waiting for that day. Lord, how long will the wicked rule? Lord, shine forth. I get attracted to the things of this world, but I cannot honestly esteem the values of this world, the philosophy of this world, or the religions of this world. I can't do it. The world can do it. They fall into it head. They hook, line, and sinker, don't they? Going back to our fishing illustration, they just do the whole thing. But it's not for you. It's not for you, child of God. This world's not your home. That's what the Lord was talking about. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. Verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world. Wherefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, and he that loveth not knoweth not God. There's what we esteem. We esteem Christ, and we esteem his people, and we esteem his word, and we esteem his church. And in doing so, we stand in conflict with everything in this world. Is that your experience? This psalm rings so true to me. Go back with me too. We're kept in the world. Look at verse 4. How long shall they utter and speak hard things? And all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. Oh, they curse God. They speak against him. They speak against his gospel. The religious may use his name in a blasphemous cursing fashion. The religious use it in a blasphemous religious fashion. Either way, his name is being profaned. And we hear the name of our God being profaned, and we say, Lord, how long will the wicked rule? When are you going to shine forth and show them who you really are? The one that I love, the one that I esteem. They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and the murderer and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Lord, we know you see. We know you're regarding it. How long until vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's not our place to take it, is it? We're to love our enemy. We're to do good unto those who despitefully use us. We're to hope that the Lord will have mercy upon them. But God one day is going to shine forth. He's going to shine forth. And when he does, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God, to the glory of the Father. Oh, there's a few that are bowing willingly right now. God's made them willing to bow, to esteem Christ. The majority will be smitten with a rod of iron on the back of the knee and be brought to bow with the foot of God on their neck. And the Lord's looking at the world that he lived in. He's saying, Father, Father, how long till you're going to bring vengeance? Verse 8. Understand ye brutish among the people, and ye fools? When will you be wise? When will you be wise? When will you stop esteeming the values, the philosophy, and the religions of this world and act as if God doesn't exist? When will you not bow and believe on him? He that planted the ear, he that made the ear, does he not hear? Does he not hear what you're saying? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chasteneth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Vanity. Solomon tried to find pleasure in this world. And after he tried everything the world had to offer, what did he conclude? Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now, when the child of God becomes enticed by the things of this world and begins to flirt with the values, the philosophy, and the religions of this world, or begins to think that maybe there's some wisdom or comfort or hope or salvation or pleasure outside of Christ, the Lord knows how to correct him, doesn't he? He knows how to chastise his children. And blessed are they when the Lord corrects them, when the Lord rebukes them. That's the next verse. Now we're making a transition now. Look at verse 12. Blessed is the man whom thou chastiseth, O Lord, and teacheth out of thy law. Now in the Psalms, the word law and precepts and statutes and testimonies and commandments is all used not for the Ten Commandments or for particular, but the whole of Scripture. And we know that the whole of Scripture is written in order to reveal Christ. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. So what does the Lord do for his children when they begin to look away from Christ and look to the things that the men of this world look to? He begins to answer the prayer that he prayed to his Father, that Father would keep them from the world. And he knows how to keep his children from the world. And you know what he does? He shows them the glory of his Son. And they come to their senses and they say, oh, Lord, how could I think that there was something outside of Christ that provided me hope? How could I think that? Now, often we think of chastisement as the whipping of God, but, you know, if that doesn't result in us looking to Christ, just punishment by itself is never going to change a man's heart. You have a child that needs to be chastised. I would encourage you to speak long and hard to them before you put the belt to their bottom and explain to them what you're doing and why you're doing it. If all you do is give them corporal punishment without any words of correction, all you're going to do is make them angry. And you're going to drive them further into their bad behavior, aren't you? So we sit down with our children. We love them. We let them know they're doing this because we love them. So if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Our Heavenly Father loves us so much more than we love our own children. He knows how to chastise his children. But it's not just the hard experiences that he sends our way is to drive us to Christ. That's the correction. That's the correction. He teaches us out of his law to look to Christ, out of his statutes, out of his testimony, out of his word. He reveals to us the glory of Christ, and we see Christ. You know, the law is all about thou shalt not, isn't it? And all the law does is just, well, the strength of sin is the law. You want to drive somebody into sin, just tell them what not to do. Let me illustrate that. I want you right this minute, I've used this illustration years ago, but I want you right this minute to imagine that there's not an elephant in this room. Now, all you can see is an elephant standing there, right? As soon as I tell you not to do something, that's the very thing that you do, isn't it? And that's the way the law is. As soon as you tell a person something not to do, that's the... You see, the Lord doesn't correct his children with the law. He shows us something other than the elephant. He shows us his son. He said, look over here. Look over here. You won't be consumed with those things in the world. Love not the world nor the things that are in the world. Look over here to Christ. See how glorious, how beautiful, how wise, how able he is to save. The world can't see him, but you can. And if you see him, you'll turn. Paul, when writing to the church at Thessalonica, said that they were a testimony to the churches unto Macedonia of how they had turned to God from their idols. I'm thankful for that wording. I'm thankful that the Lord didn't say, turn away from your idols and turn to God. He takes the testimony of his word and he turns us to Christ. And in turning to Christ, we turn away from our idols. The things of this world. Blessed is the man. Oh, what a blessed thing it is. The world, the people of the world are given over to the world. They're not corrected. They get deeper and deeper in the mire of it, don't they? They become more and more in love with the mammon of this world and all that it buys. They become more and more in love with the philosophies of this world, thinking that they're going to find wisdom either by pleasure or by introspection. And they become more and more enamored with the religions of this world. They esteem them more and more. And you can't esteem them, can you? You just can't. And if you try, the Lord knows how to correct his children, how to point them back to Christ. Blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. If God teaches us out of his law, he's going to reveal to us the glory of his son. He's going to reveal to us the accomplished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, who put away all the sins of all of God's people once and for all. He's going to reveal to us where the Lord Jesus Christ is right now as our successful Savior and substitute and intercessor before God. That's what he's going to teach us. For the Lord will not cast off his people. They get enamored with the things that they get tempted by the things of this world. They start getting attracted to the things that the world is sold out to. The Lord knows he will not cast off his people. He will not forsake his inheritance. He will not let them go down that road. He won't do it. For judgment shall return unto righteousness. They will be reminded that the judgment of God fell from heaven on Christ, and that righteousness is established, and that there's their hope. There's their hope. They don't have to go back to the well of Sychar to get water. They've got living water springing forth. All the upright in heart shall follow it. How do I know I'm of God? He keeps bringing me back. Oh, if I look at the thoughts and the attitudes and the words and the actions that I sometimes am guilty of in the world, I wonder, how can I be of God? I'm not supposed to love the world. Lord, truly, I do not esteem this world. By your grace, you have caused me to esteem one who is not of this world. Father, I am not of this world. They are not of this world. Who will will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Who's going to defend me against this world that I live in? I live in a world that's contrary to everything I believe. It's anti-Christ, every part of it. Who's going to deliver me? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said my foot slipped, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. How many times our foot have slipped? How many times we've stepped on slippery places? We didn't have our feet shod. I'm limping a little bit tonight. This morning it was finished raining. We've got a flagstone on our front porch. I went out there with bare feet, and I took a fall like I've never taken in my life. Landed on my hip. I thought I broke my hip. Broke my back, broke my leg. Didn't have my phone on me. I laid there in the wet for, you know, until I could breathe again. And, yeah, that's the way we are, isn't it? And I couldn't call Tricia to come help me and didn't have anybody help me. Lord, you don't have to help me get up. But that's what we do. We get out in the world and we don't have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and we get in slippery, wet places and we fall. And the Lord says, I'll hold you up. I'll pick you up. I'll brush you off. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Comfort ye, my people. Lord, I've tried to find comfort in the world. It's not there. Oh, but thy delights, what are the delights of God? One, it's my beloved Son. In him I'm well pleased. I'm delighted in him. And you'll be delighted in him. And he'll be all you'll need. All you'll need. And so the child of God says, Lord, when are you going to shine forth? I need to be delivered from this world. The redemption of my body has not yet happened. And just like creation is groaning, so am I. So am I. Lord, shine forth. Shine forth. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word. We say amen to how true it is to our experiences. And we say amen to thy precious promises. And we ask, Lord, that you would once again point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Number 12, let's stand together. Number 12 in a spiral hymnal.
We'll sing this a cappella.
Upon my great and sovereign God, I cast my soul and rest. My Father's hand controls the world, and what he does is best. So be still my heart and doubt no more. Believe and find sweet rest. God's wisdom, love, and truth and power combine to make thee blessed. In raging storms and fiery trials, he keeps me from all harms. He walks with me and holds me in his everlasting arms. So be still my heart, and doubt no more. Believe and find sweet rest. God's wisdom, love, and truth and power combine to make thee blessed. My God, with skill infallible and great designs of grace, with power and love that never fail, shall order all my ways. So be still my heart, and doubt no more. Believe and find sweet rest. God's wisdom, love, and truth and power combine to make thee blessed. My life's most minute circumstance is ordered by my God, who promised that in all things he will ever do me good. So be still my heart, and doubt no more. Believe and find sweet rest. God's wisdom, love, and truth and power combine to make thee blessed.